Good morning, church.
Would you stand with us? This morning is going to be a little bit of a different setup than we normally have, but we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak whatever he has for you, for me this morning, and just strip everything away and allow these words to truly penetrate our hearts. And I just want to open up this morning, if you could just open up your palms like this as we start off with some prayer. And God, I just want to ask this morning, God, that whatever we are holding on to right now, Lord, that we would release to you. And Lord, at the same time as we let go of certain things that are preventing us from having complete intimacy with you, God, at the same time, I pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to fill us up. Fill us with your joy, your hope, your peace, your kindness, your patience, your goodness. And Lord, as Ephesians 6 says, your gospel of peace. Lord, allow your gospel to truly provide peace for us, Lord, because of the good news we have in Jesus. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
So we want to welcome you this morning. Did you guys know that God is so happy that we're here together this morning? We're his children. He's a father. He's a good father. And he wants the eyes. He wants to open the eyes of our heart. He wants to open the eyes of our hearts. Let's sing out to him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Let's have the angels hear us. Sing it out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Sing it out. See you high. Let's sing.
Holy, holy, holy. Oh, you've opened the eyes of my heart.
Holy, holy,
holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
I'm lovely in
and even faint for you.
Only here is our heart satisfied.
For here my heart is satisfied. Within your presence, I see beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day. It's better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere.
Better is one day,
better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere.
Lord, your presence,
better is one day.
Thousands elsewhere, no place like your presence.
Good morning, church. How is everybody today? My name is Joey. If I haven't met you, I serve on the prayer team and in the children's ministry here, and I'm a just up here for a quick announcement. Our church is affiliated with the Ventura County Pregnancy Center. And as part of our work with them, we are what's called a house of refuge. And I'm just gonna read something really quick that says what that means. Camarillo Community Church is a house of refuge. This applies to everyone in this church, as well as people you may know who need a house of refuge. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, please know that being pregnant is not a sin, and the child you carry is not a punishment, it is a blessing. God is knitting this child together in your womb. You may have made a decision that led to this pregnancy, or you may have been sinned against, but we want you to know that you are loved and that we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after birth. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion because the child that you carry is made in the image of God and is intrinsically valuable and loved by God, but you do need to know how we will respond. This church family will not gossip about you, shame you, or abandon you. This is a house of refuge. And we will not allow the family of God to harm one another with words or actions that are contrary to the love that God has revealed in his word. We will do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacle stands in your way of having this child. There are people in this church that are ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, or connect you with resources inside and outside of our church. We will also hold men accountable for living out their call to provide for and protect women and children. Finally, if you've ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that an abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes this finds mercy in Jesus Christ. If you have never gone through an abortion recovery Bible study, we would be happy to connect you so that you can walk forward in complete healing and freedom. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you say in your word about the value of your children. Thank you that in Jeremiah, you told Jeremiah that before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I had a plan for you. Thank you, God, that you know us. You are the God who knows. You're not an indifferent, passive God that's far away, but that you are close, God. You know us so perfectly. Thank you, God, that for most of us, God, for all of us, the desire of our hearts is to be known and to be loved. And you look at all people, the smallest of people, anybody, no matter what situation they're in, no matter how small, and you say, I know you, I see you, I love you. That you've given value to each person, God, and shown us that you love us, God, so much that you sent your own son to die for, as you would for any one of us, God. Thank you so much for that, God. Oh, Lord, I want to say a prayer for the families of this church. I want to say a prayer for the fathers, that in Malachi it says that the fathers will return to their children and the children to their fathers, God. I pray that the men of this church would stand up and stand forward, God, to stand up for human life, to stand up for their families, God. I pray for the mothers and for the women of this church, whether it's biological mothers or spiritual mothers, Lord, that you have made such a unique relationship between mothers and children that uniquely shows the power of the gospel, the giving up of one's self for another person, God. Thank you, God, so much for families. Only your design, God, only you could have come up with it. I pray that this church, that you would help us to step out in faith and to move forward, to support and to help and to love anyone who's here who needs this message, God, who needs your help, Jesus. We trust you, God. We believe this for you, God. We trust you by your Holy Spirit and by the power of your word, God, that this would be true in our church and in our lives, God. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, church, I'm going to need your help with this one. I'm going to declare it. Cling to the name of Jesus.
I know a name that can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of our praise. I call you Jesus, I call you healer.
Yeah.
Of the choir of heaven, church. I was in here the other day, and I was just thinking of how many, if this building was built in the year 2000, how many praises are stuck on the walls in this room of generations before us, of first-time believers, long-time walking with the Lord, saints. So let's just fill this room with the joy of the Lord, declaring his name that we can cling to. All right, one more time. It's all you.
I call you. King of kings, you are holy.
those cries.
Sing that holy.
Holy, all creation cries. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing. Holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever.
Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. And get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. And get up and praise.
Well, welcome Camarillo Community Church. Man, how many of you guys are excited to be in the house of God this morning? Man, I don't know about you guys, but I had an amazing time celebrating liberty and freedom in this country, but I had an even more amazing time this morning celebrating the liberty and freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So excited to be here. If I don't know you, my name is Jacob Salas. I'm the associate preaching pastor here. And we're so excited that every single one of you guys are here today. And as we come into the time where we go into the Word of God, we're starting a new series. And you guys may notice that my table looks a little bit different today. We're ready for a date night. How about, break out the glass of apple cider. Of course, we're not drinking anything alcoholic here. But we're ready for date night. And some of you guys here might be wondering, what's with the fancy decor and all of these things? Well, for the past couple of months, some of you guys may know this, and this is a little vulnerable to share, but I've been kind of on a dating journey. Okay, I've been on a little bit, join the apps, and in that dating journey, I've actually learned how to perfect the art of getting to know a person. Okay, perfect the art of getting to know a person. I've spent many dinners sitting in front of tables like this, in front of a woman of God, and asking questions in order to get to know that person, to really understand who they are. And all the married people in the room, they understand. They're like, yeah, I get you, Jacob. I know exactly what it is to stand in front of the love of my life and to desire to know them more deeply, to probe into who they are, right? And this is the goal. This is the kind of mission, right? When we go on a date, it's not simply to spend a lot of money, but it's to get to know the person in front of us. As much as we do like spending money here in the States, but it's to get to know somebody. And so as we go into this series today, as we try to understand what it means to participate in spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting and attending church, my goal is that you would understand these things that we do in the kingdom of God, in our daily walks with life, that we would see the spiritual disciplines not as simply something to do in order to seem spiritual, but rather that we would see these things as a way to get in front of, as a way to get face to face with God, as a way to understand who He is, to get to know Him, and for us to pour out our hearts to Him, just in the same way we might go out on a date and we might probe into the person whom we're sitting in front of as we're sitting face to face to try to understand who they are. So when we pray, so when we read the Bible, so when we attend church, we're probing into the very character of God and trying to understand who He is. That this is what it means to participate in the spiritual disciplines, that we are all trying to gather more, to grasp more onto who God is and what His will is for us. And so as we do this, I've recommended a book called The Habits of Grace, right? And some of you guys may have started reading it, actually. And this book presents these spiritual disciplines in such a way where when I go and pray, it is a means for God to show grace towards me. Now, the way that I think we envision some of these spiritual disciplines, in particular, church, which is what we're going to be talking about today, right? That church is a spiritual discipline in which we come face to face with God and get to know Him more, but that we can look at something like church as a very boring, dreary thing. Just ask Homer Simpson here on the screen, right? That we can often see church is a very boring thing, right? And no shame, no shade being thrown out to Homer Simpson. I've slept in church before. And I know that some of you have because I've seen you from the stage sleeping in church. But we could oftentimes see church as a very boring, dreary thing. But can I tell you that God has great blessing for you in church? Okay, I want you guys to hear this, that God has grace that He wants to pour out over you if you would just understand what church is, if you would come into church understanding that when I come into this place, I'm standing face to face with God, getting to know the creator of this universe, that you would know that God is pouring out grace to you through His body, that church is a grace-filled thing. And so as we jump into today's message, we're going to do things a little bit different. Instead of an overarching question, I'm going to have an overarching statement, okay? I have an overarching statement as we go into our series, as we kick off our series today. I want to start off with this overarching statement, which simply says this. It says, I find blood-bought and extravagant grace in God's body by finding a place to belong, okay? I find blood-bought and extravagant grace in God's body by finding a place to belong. I receive the mercies and grace and goodness of God by coming to Him face to face through attending church, and in that I find a place to belong. That church gives me a place where I can feel like I'm accepted, like I'm a part of something, where like I belong somewhere. So we're gonna see here, as we open up our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, would you guys to turn with me? If you guys don't have a Bible, you guys can go ahead and look here on the screen. But 1 Peter, and we're gonna have lots of verses, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, and the Bible says this. It says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay? I want you guys to grasp onto the image that the Word of God is trying to present to us today. It says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, right? But in the sight of God, you are chosen and precious. That in the church of God, you find a place where you can belong. Okay? You may go out into the world and you may feel like you're a square peg trying to fit in a circular hole. But when you come into the church in the house of God, if you believe in Jesus, then you have found the place where you belong. That you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. That God has bought you with His blood and brought you into His kingdom. And He says that you are chosen and precious in His sight. That you are chosen and precious in His sight. Church, if you are here in this place today and you feel like you don't belong, let me tell you that you belong right here, okay? That you belong right here. And so the Word of God is very clear that if you are in the body of Christ, that you are chosen and precious, that you belong to Him. And that He went through a great deal in order to bring you into this church. Okay, did you guys know that when you entered into this church that nobody charged you an attendance fee? Like, I hope not. If they did, you got scammed, okay? That might be a good side hustle, I don't know. Please don't take that idea. But no, you guys didn't pay a fee in order to come into this place, but that doesn't mean that your church attendance is free, okay? You didn't pay a fee to enter in this building, but that doesn't mean that your church attendance is free, that it was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you guys to see this in Ephesians chapter 3, okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, rather, verses 13 through 15. But it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, okay? You who once were afar off, that you were distant from God, disconnected from Him, and now you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through Christ, thereby killing the hostility. Okay? I want you guys to see this, that God desired so much to provide you a place to belong that He gave His only begotten Son, that Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross so that you wouldn't have to pay the penalty of sin, and He took it for you, and now you get to live this life in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we call the gospel. And that you in this building, right, you coming here, being able to worship Jesus Christ, right, was not a free thing. Right? It was bought by the blood of Jesus. We just celebrated yesterday a freedom that we have that was bought by the blood of many men. 4th of July. But did you know that there is an even greater freedom that we have in Jesus Christ that was bought not by corruptible things, not by corruptible men, but incorruptible, meaning the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure and blameless Lamb. And that you get to have communion with God through Jesus Christ. And I want you guys to see this, that Jesus paid a price so that you could belong to his body, and that he broke down the walls of hostility. I want you guys to understand this, because the context of Ephesians 2 actually shows us a really, really phenomenal truth. And he broke down the walls of hostility, meaning that the separation that you have between you and God no longer exists. If you guys have ever felt like you were distant from God, know this, that Jesus paid the price on the cross so that you who once were far off can now be near to Jesus Christ. So if you ever feel distant from God, know that's not the truth. Know that he gave his precious son so that you can be near to him. But then he also broke down the walls of hostility between us. It's not very clear because I didn't give it to you in the full chapter, but what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 2, the wall of hostility, he's talking about the walls of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, okay? He's talking about different people that disagree with each other and that butt heads and have conflict with one another, and he's saying that you could come into the body of Christ and you could not only find peace with God, but you could find peace with each other, okay? That you could find peace with each other. See, I want you guys to understand something here, okay? When you come into this church, not only do you belong in the body of Christ, but you belong next to that brother or sister. And that brother or sister belongs next to you, okay? That person next to you belongs in this building. They belong right by your side, and you belong right by their side. That Jesus came not only to break down the walls of hostility between us and God, but also to break down the walls of hostility between each other. So the church should be a place where we're unified, where we're arm in arm, bound up together, serving Jesus Christ. And it breaks my heart to see that sometimes the church of God isn't living up to that standard. That sometimes, rather than being a place of peace, you could find that the church is a place of conflict and hostility. And could I tell you that that is not God's desire for his church? God's desire for his church is not that you would be in conflict and fighting with the people that are sitting next to you, but that you would be at peace with them, striving towards the same goal. And Jesus paid a great cost on the cross in order to buy you that peace between each other. And so we see that we find a place to belong. So I find blood-bought and extravagant grace in God's body by firstly finding a place to belong, and then secondly, by finding a place to be filled up. In the church, I find a place where I belong. I'm precious and chosen. And then secondly, we find a place where we can be filled up. I want you guys to see probably one of the most famous passages as it relates to church attendance in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Some of you guys may know it. And the Word of God says this. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to do good works." Okay? I want you guys to understand that that's your mission, to stir one another up towards love and doing good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I find blood-bought extravagant grace in God's body by finding a place to be filled up, by finding a place where people can pour into me, where I could be encouraged, where I can be lifted up in the body of Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 10 provides us this image. It says, "Don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together as in the manner of some." Some of us, okay, me included sometimes, take for granted the gift of God that is the church. Some of us take for granted the gift of God that is the church. We see it as something where we're like, man, I got to go to church today. I really don't want to wake up. I really don't want to wake up early. I stayed up all night last night in my 4th of July celebration, and I don't want to go to church on July 5th. And so we forsake or take for granted the meeting of God's body. We take for granted. We don't esteem it or value it as we should. And the Bible says, don't do that. Some people might do that, okay? Some people might not see church as important, but you don't be one of those people. Why? Because church is a place to get filled up, okay? Church is a place where you could be encouraged. How many of you guys here have ever kind of experienced a season of life where you feel stagnant and you just feel like you're not growing in your faith? And you feel like, man, I just don't know what's going wrong. I feel like life is just very stale. And then you go and you look back and you're like, oh, wow, I haven't spent any time at church. I've been surrounding myself with people who don't know Jesus Christ. And and not a lot of time with people who are able to lift me up spiritually. Those two things are connected, okay? It's like going to the gym. Like, you know, we kind of take for granted going to the gym until we take a couple of weeks off, and then we start feeling sluggish. And we start feeling tired, and we're like, oh, wow, there was a purpose in me going and doing this difficult thing, doing this laborious, tedious thing over and over and over again. There was a great value in it, in doing it. And the same is true of church. When you come to church, it seems laborious. It can seem tedious. We oftentimes don't want to wake up very early in the morning. We often don't want to come up and, you know, after a late night on Saturday, coming in on Sunday morning. But it is good for you. It's a place where you could be encouraged. I want you guys to see here in Ephesians chapter 4, we get a more holistic image of what it means to be built up in the body of Christ. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. And the Bible says this way. And it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I want you guys to really hone in on what's being said here. Because the Bible gives us a great deal of many promises of what can happen to us when we attend church. When we attend church and walk in all the things that God desires for us, that he can equip us for the work of ministry, he can build us up into the body of Christ, he can cause us to be united in the faith, increase our knowledge of the Son of God, and that he can bring us into the maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. I want you guys to understand this right now, that when you come to church, that you are receiving the measure of the fullness of the stature of God, that you are coming, just like when you sit in a date and you're talking to that person that you really, really enjoy being with. It could be that spouse, that person that you love and that you care for, and that you grow much more close and understand who they are. You really get to know who they are as a person and understand them. That in that same way, that we would come to church, it's a place for us to sit face and face in front of God and to understand who he is. That we can look at him, we can look at the stature, the being, the characteristics of God, and we receive it, and we say, okay, God, that's who you are. Oh, okay. Man, I love church. I got to tell you that when we were sitting here in church, and Pastor Kelly, he encouraged all of us to sing together, man, I saw the face of God in that moment. When we were all singing together, one church glorifying Jesus, I saw the bride of Christ in that moment, right? That was us singing together. Glorifying Jesus, which, by the way, did you know that that's what heaven is going to be? Heaven is going to be the church together singing praises, singing worship to Jesus Christ. And I saw a glimpse of heaven in that moment. And so don't neglect going to church, because in it, God has things that are going to build you up, that are going to strengthen you, that are going to equip you for ministry, that are going to make you united with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that are going to fill you up in the knowledge of God, that are going to give you the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, right? That's the things that you receive in church, and you're not going to do it by sitting in your seat and being disengaged with the rest of the church, okay? You're not going to do it by sitting in your seat and being disengaged with the rest of the church. And I'm going to challenge you guys today, okay? I'm going to challenge you guys, if you come to church and it's just a thing that you do on Sunday, can I tell you that God has so much more for you? God has so much more for you, okay? That he wants you to walk hand in hand closely with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like the image of the first church, right? In the book of Acts, we see a church that prayed together, that ate together, that fellowship together. They walked hand in hand. They were each other's closest relationships. The Bible says that they were so close that they sold all things, they had all things in common. That means that they shared everything together. That means that, like, they were like, oh, okay, like, you don't have a microwave? Well, you know what? Here's mine. Here, like, let me go and share it with you. That this is the sort of closeness that the first church had. And I look at our present day American church, and I'm kind of grieved because I don't see that same sort of closeness there. I don't see that same sort of that same relationship there. So I encourage you guys, we have so many ministries that you can get a part of, right? We have places for you to join a growth group where you could be in community with one another. We have places like Quad Ministry, where you could go with a group of 2 to 3 other men or women, right? And you guys can grow in your faith and your walk with God together, hold each other accountable. We have different classes that we're going to be offering here in the fall semester. We're going to be offering a parenting class, a marriage class. We're going to be offering a new converts or a new believers class that we're going to call Foundations. That you guys have all this opportunity to plug into the body of Christ. So take advantage. Take advantage of all the different ways. Okay, we're going to have a booth out after church, and I encourage you guys to come talk to me. I want to see you guys get plugged in to the church. And so I find blood-bought and extravagant grace in God's body. We found firstly by finding a place to belong, finding a place to be filled up, and then thirdly, by finding a place to bless others. By finding a place to bless others. I want you guys to see this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, right? And the word of God says this. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, okay? Let this word of God, the very words breathed out, inspired, and spoken by God, let it dwell in you richly. And Paul gives us the means by which we let the word of God dwell in us. It says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do you guys see this right here? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Well, how do we let the word of God dwell in us richly? Well, we participate in the kingdom of God. We teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, okay? We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing together. We encourage one another with thankfulness in our hearts. And whatever we do in word or deed, we do it wholeheartedly towards Jesus Christ. Listen, there is a level of blessing, there's a level of grace, there is a level of what God desires for you that you cannot have unless you are participating in these things, okay? You cannot have Christ fully dwelling in your heart richly unless you are admonishing, encouraging, and teaching those next to you. And it doesn't have to look like you guys standing up here on a stage and preaching a message, okay? It doesn't have to look like that. It could be you in a growth group sitting next to a person who's grieving, putting your arm around them. I got to tell you, there was a moment a couple of weeks ago. I'm in a quad, and there was a moment a couple of weeks ago where I was with a brother in my quad, and he was just going through a really tough time. I just sat there and put my arm around him. That was ministry. That's all I did. Just put my arm around him, just encouraged him, lifted him up, and I said, "Hey, brother, it's going to be all right. God has for you. I may not have the words that are going to ease the pain right now, but let me just tell you that I'm here." And that I'm praying for you. Now, this is what being a part of God's church has. And that it is not a blessing only to the person whom you're ministering to, but it's also a blessing to you. And you guys here remember the words of James where he quotes our Lord, where he says, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. A part of God pouring out his grace over us is him allowing us to minister to his body. It's giving us a place to be able to pour into others. And let me tell you, church, that there is such a beauty, that there is such a grace that we get to have when we get to pour into others. There's nothing quite like it. Like, church, I've been doing ministry for a long time. I've been doing ministry for, as of today, July 5th is my 4-year anniversary of working here at this church, and like literally to the day. And there is nothing more special than getting to pour into your students, than being able to see lives transformed, to be able to speak life into somebody. Guys, it encouraged me. You know what's one of the greatest, like one of my most proud moments? Just a couple of weeks ago, I was at youth group, and I had some high school students that are volunteers in my youth group, that I had them as middle school students. And so after youth group was done, they all got together. You know what they started doing? They picked up instruments and started worshiping God together. And they were just like, hey, we just want to sit in the presence of the Lord just for a couple of minutes before we get home. And it was just such a proud moment of like, wow, I got to have a hand in building up that young person who is now on fire for Jesus, living his life for Christ. Guys, I want you here to hear this. Don't miss out on the blessing that God has for you through pouring out to other people. Okay, don't miss out on that blessing. It is a huge, tremendous blessing. I want you guys to see Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. I want you guys to see the urgency of this. The Bible tells us that it is an urgent matter for us to encourage and to bless and to minister to those around us. It says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible is telling us right here, it says, don't let another day go by without encouraging that brother or sister in Christ, okay? Don't let another day go by. As while it is still called today, while you still have time, while there's still breath in your lungs, go and encourage that person. Go and exhort them. Go lift them up. You know that person that you know needs prayer? Go and give them a call and say, hey, I'm praying for you. You know that person that's really struggling in their faith? Go and say, hey, let's go get some coffee this week. I want to meet with you. On me. Let's just go talk. The Bible says it is urgent. Do it while it is still called today. Find your place. Find the way that you can bless other people. And some of you guys might be sitting in this room and you're like, I don't know where my place is. I don't know where I can serve others. And thank you guys so much for expressing that sentiment. I have the answer to that. If you guys desire to find a place where you guys can minister and find a place for yourself in the kingdom of God, I have a QR code for you guys. You guys can go ahead and scan this QR code, okay? And it's going to give you a list of all of the different ministries that you can volunteer at, okay? It's going to give you all of the different things that we do here at Camarillo Community Church where you could go and bless others. Because every single Thursday, we have an amazing ministry here called Awana Ministry, right? Where you guys can volunteer and you guys can help train up young students from, you know, like this high all the way to taller than me. That you guys can train up students and you guys can volunteer at the food pantry and you guys can bless those who are in need here in our community, here in Camarillo. Or you guys can sign up for our care ministry, where we care for caretakers who spend all day looking after those who cannot look after themselves. That we have many ways for you guys to get involved. As a matter of fact, I had mentioned it earlier, but we're going to have a space for you guys out in the lobby. If you guys are interested in getting plugged into the church, if you guys are interested in finding a place to serve, I encourage you to come talk to me. I have these cards that you can fill out, where you guys can go and you might not even know what you want to volunteer at. It's fine. That's why I'm there. I can talk to you guys. I can let you know all the things that we have to offer, but don't neglect to go out there. If you guys are in a place where you're saying to yourself, man, I am not connected to the body of Christ. I have no place to volunteer. I have no place to bless others. Let me tell you that you are missing. When you don't have a place to bless others, you are missing out on the blessings that God has for you. So don't waste another minute. Do it while it is still called today. Come talk to us. Find a place where you can minister to other people. And so, I find blood-bought and extravagant grace in God's body by firstly finding a place to belong, secondly, finding a place to be filled up, thirdly, finding a place to bless others, and fourthly, finding a place to become. By finding a place to become, that I can, in the church, in God's body, I find a place where I could be transformed into the very image of God. Okay, I want you guys to see this in Ephesians chapter 4. It's such an amazing passage. I love it so much. It gets me excited just even mentioning it. So Ephesians chapter 4, I want you guys to see this right here. It says, rather speaking the truth in love. And some of us struggle with that. Some of us struggle with speaking truth. Some of us struggle in loving while speaking truth. Well, the Bible tells us to do both. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I wish that I had another 4 hours to really dive into this passage, and I don't. But guys, I want you to see the beautiful image that the scripture gives us of the body of Christ. It says to grow up in every way of him who is the head. So the Bible tells us that the body has a mission to grow into the head, okay? That you are the body of Jesus Christ, okay? That you, that all of us here have our different place to our different place, our different part to play in the body of Christ, and that God has called us, the church, to be a reflection of who Jesus Christ is. That it is the mission of the body to look like the head. And guys, I don't know about you guys, but when I come into Camarillo Community Church, that's what I see. Like, I go and I look at the hospitality team, and I'm like, wow, Jesus served and fed people. And I go look at our prayer team that stands in the front, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus ministered and prayed for people. And I look at all of these people that go and serve in youth ministry and children's ministry. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus embraced the children. That in the church, we see an image of Jesus Christ, and that this is the mission of the church. The mission of the church is that we would, as a body of Christ, would reflect the very nature and character of Jesus Christ. That the body has to become like the head. That the body has to become like the head. And that we would grow in love. And see, this is actually kind of like a self-repeating like cycle, that we come into church and that we go and we have our tanks low, we come and we get filled up, we pour out into others, and that this allows the church to grow into the maturity of the faith found in Jesus Christ so that we can reflect Jesus more. And so we put into the church, we leave, we kind of get depleted, come back, get filled up, pour unto others, leave, get depleted, come back, get filled up, and pour into others. That this is the image of the church, and it's this factory of us building ourselves more and more and more into Christ's likeness. That this is the image of the church. It is a means of God's grace. I don't want you guys to leave here thinking that church is some dreary, boring thing like Homer Simpson sitting on the pew napping. The church is a place where you come to be transformed. The church is a place where you come to look more like Jesus Christ. It's a place where you can sit just like in a date, face to face with that person that you love. And you can look them in the face and you can begin to know them more, begin to understand them. And in doing that, you know what the Bible says? It says, for we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another as by the Spirit of the Lord. That just even looking, just even being a part of the body of Christ has this transformative effect that makes us more into the image of Jesus Christ. So church, I don't want you to think of church as a chore. It is not a chore. It is one of God's greatest blessings for your life. Which brings us to our big idea. The church is not a chore. It's a channel of God's grace. That church is not a chore. It is a channel of God's grace. That church is not this laborious, dreary thing. It is this great blessing that God has for you. Church, if you would just grab onto this, if you would just understand what church is, that you would never want to miss a Sunday. That you would never want to miss an opportunity to serve in your local body, because it is not a chore. It's not just a thing that we do. It is God's, it's one of God's avenues in order to bless you. It's one of the ways that God pours out his grace over you. It's one of the ways that God sanctifies you and builds you up into his image. That church is not a chore. It's a channel of God's grace. It is a channel of God's grace. And listen, church, I am a product of the church blessing me. I came in a 13-year-old boy, didn't know Jesus Christ. Very far off from God. And those of you guys who know me know that I did not come from a believing household. I came from about as anti-Jesus as you can get, about as godless and depraved as you can get. That's the household and the family that I come from. But I came into the church and I found a place where I could be loved, where people came and they built me up and they said, hey, Jacob, I see that you behave this way. I see that you do these things. Let me provide you a better way. Let me show you a better way of living. And people poured themselves into me and showed me what it looked like to love and to serve Jesus Christ. That the church for me was a place of transformation, and it could be the same for you. Church, that the church is a place where God means to bless us. And so, as we get to the end of our message, we got these cool little bookmarks right here. I know I'm kind of showing off a bunch of cards this morning, but we have these bookmarks right here, and we're gonna pass one out every single week for the entire month of July, and each one deals with a different spiritual discipline. Every single one of them deals with a different, so this week is the church, so don't miss out, because if you do, then you're not gonna get the whole thing, and when they come together, they actually make an image, okay? So you can like put them all together. Okay, so you definitely don't wanna miss out, right? But we have these cards, and on them, we call it FaceTime, okay? We have these things that were these challenges that we're calling FaceTime. And the idea here is that when we look at spiritual disciplines, I want you guys to reimagine the way that that looks like in your life. I want you guys to shift your perspective on what it means to come to church, what it means to read the Bible, what it means to pray, what it means to fast. If we're getting face to face with the Creator. I mentioned that I'm a little bit of a dating journey. And as a matter of fact, I'm no longer single. I have as a couple days ago. And one of my favorite things to do, just getting out of the day from work, is I like to, because she lives very far away in Ohio. And I love to FaceTime with her. Just to get on the camera and just to talk with her and get to know her, right? And that this is what God calls us to do. He says, just like you can get on that phone and you can FaceTime with that person that you love, that church is a place where you can FaceTime with the Most High God. You can FaceTime with him. You can get to know him. So we have these challenges here. I want you guys to take these seriously. We have some challenges. I want you guys to introduce yourself to one person you don't know, to make yourself a part of the body of Christ. I want you guys to take seriously the call that the scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 3 to encourage the body. And so we want you to encourage one believer this week. We want you guys to take time to pray for your church leaders and church pastors, for your mentors, for the people in your life that are pouring into you. We want you guys to come out to the discipleship table and fill out a discipleship card and see how you can get plugged into this church. We want you to commit to volunteer at a ministry here at this church. And when you do it, know that you are FaceTiming with the Creator of this universe. That you are getting face to face with him. That you're having this ability to see him and to be transformed by him. You can sit with him face to face. Let's go ahead and pray today, church. Lord, we just thank you so much for, God, this gift that you've given us. Lord, we can often see it as something just, is something boring. We can see it as a hassle. We can see it as a thing that gets in the way. But attending church is a blessing. It's a way that we go face to face with you, Lord Jesus, and we understand more and more who you are, Lord. And so, God, I pray that as we, as a church body, meet together, love on each other, and encourage one another, that every single time that we do that, Lord, that we would understand that this is not just a spiritual thing to do. That is not just a way to spend my day where I can feel good about myself and say, hey, I went to church, let me check that off my religious box, but that we can say, I came face to face with the Creator. I'm living in the calling and blessing and grace that God has called me to live in. I've attended church. I'm a part of a body. I'm growing up into the love of Jesus Christ, and I can only do this when I get face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ through attending church. That you would shift our perspectives, God, that we would understand what it is to be a part of your body. And so, God, I just pray for every single one of us who is feeling separated, alone, feeling like we have no place to belong, that you would give them a place where they can be filled up. And when that they get filled up, that they get to a place where they can pour out. And when they fill up and pour out, Lord Jesus, that they could become the man or woman of God that you've called them to be. And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name that I pray, in Jesus' name. And the church says,
amen. Good morning. Church, are we blessed to have Jacob bring us the word this morning? I hope you all enjoyed your celebration yesterday, the 250th anniversary of this experiment called America. Country founded on Christian principles, and our rights and privileges come from God. I was listening to a message from Louis Giglio not long ago, and he was talking about the rights and privileges of being an American citizen and the doors that it opens up worldwide. And then he equated it to our rights and privileges as children of God, as citizens of heaven, which are much more valuable, much more highly to be prized. And to think that we have been paid for by the blood of Christ and that we get to be members and citizens of heaven is amazing. Now, not long ago, back in January, I was way ahead of the game. I bought my USA 250 hat. Why? Because I was on Amazon and I had to spend $4 more in order to get free shipping. Well, and then I had to look, I had to look and say, does that cheapen my citizenship? I got the hat free, for crying out loud. No, I'm still a committed citizen of this country. But it made me think, do I treat Christ that way? Do I put him in a little box, pull him out when I need him? And I hope that's not the case for you. I hope it's not the case for me. What have I had to give up? What have I had to suffer for the cause of Christ in my life? What am I willing to suffer? We have to ask ourselves that question. I know I certainly have to. We're going to enter a time of communion now. And as Jacob said, this is not just something between us and God. This is a time for us as a church, as a community, to draw near to God together and have him knit us together as a family. So in the next few songs, as you feel led, come down, take the elements, enjoy them here, or take them back to your seats, and let's just remember the sacrifice that Christ made to make us citizens of heaven, and enjoy the time with your families. If you are challenged and need help with the elements, raise your hand. The ushers will be very happy to bring them to your seat, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will join us in our communion here this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we just are so grateful for our country. You've blessed us so much, and there's a lot of responsibility that comes with us. But Father, we're part of a bigger group. We are your children, and we are so grateful that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and that we get to be that. We get to be citizens of heaven. Father, knit us together, knit this group. We invite your Holy Spirit to join us today, and we pray in Jesus' name.
Everything changed. It's getting harder to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. I don't walk like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I've been washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. I cannot explain. But nothing's more real than this. In the presence of God, oh, what my heart experienced. When my shame hit the wayside and my sin hit the most high, I've been washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood. And
I'm gonna sing of the good.
If you've been a part of that 250 years with providing freedom for us, would you stand right now so that we can thank you for your service? It's crazy. And then I heard in the World Cup they were thinking about having the U.S. play England. I was like, what in the world? I guess to get a second chance. But hey, we're so glad that you're here today. I just want to also let you know that at the end of the service, we're going to allow you to come forward. If you want prayer, we're going to have some prayer warriors up here. Whatever you're going through, they are phenomenal. And then the other thing, I wanted to let you know some amazing things that God has done because of your willingness to give. Your willingness to give. God is doing some amazing things right now as we go into our time of offering through worship. Listen to this. Friathon, there were 7 decisions for Jesus. Yes. There were 68 students, family laser tag, 80 people going, women's Bible study, over 120 women that are diehard for Jesus. Awana camp, 32 kids and 6 leaders. Now, with all of that, yes, numbers are not important, but you know what? Every one of those numbers has a story, and they're important to Jesus. So thank you, church, for your generosity and for the amazing things. Let's praise God for the amazing things that he's doing because of that. So there are 3 ways to give. We're going to put those on the screen. And then please stand for the send-off.
All right, everybody. If you are a first or second time guest with us, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We have our tent out on the patio. If you would come by and say hi, we would love to just connect with you, see you, give you a little gift from us to you. Next Sunday, the 12th, is our guest dessert. So if you're newer to our church and you want to get to know some of the pastors and leaders that are here, that is next Sunday, the 12th. You can sign up online to do that. Let's go outside. There's coffee, donuts. Say hi to somebody that you don't already know. Stop by, see Jacob in the lobby to get involved, and have a wonderful Sunday.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Nicole Wall.
And we serve in the kids' ministry.
If you are looking for a place to serve, there is nothing more fulfilling than investing in the next generation. We would love to get you plugged in.
If you are our guest today, check out the new to CamCC tent on the patio to receive a $5 Starbucks gift card.
If it's your second time, we are so glad you are back. Make sure you pick up your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent as well. Or if you are watching online, go to camcc.net/next-steps to sign up. If there's anything you need, please let us know. A Bible, have questions about CamCC, or today you decide to follow Jesus, head on over to the tent and let us celebrate with you. We are so glad you are here. Sunday, July 12th, Next Steps Dessert, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. If you are newer to CamCC within the past 12 months, come and enjoy meeting the pastors, elders, and other recent guests that have been checking us out. Child care is available. Sign up at camcc.net/dessert or connect with Abby at abby@camcc.net.
Sunday, July 26th, 12 to 2 p.m., Family Summer Splash. Join us for the ultimate all-American summer hangout. We've got a giant water slide, water play, line dancing, popsicles, and barbecue available for purchase to support middle school summer camp. For more info, connect with Faith at camcc.net.
Tuesday, August 4th, Family Patio Worship Night, 6:30 p.m. Join us for an outdoor, unplugged worship night on the patio. After a time of worship with your family, stick around for ice cream, toppings, and fellowship. Bring lawn chairs for you and your family. For more info, connect with Michelle at camcc.net.
August 5th through 9th, middle school camp. You don't want to miss an unforgettable week. Kayaking, archery tag, high ropes, hiking, crazy group games, powerful worship, and of course, God's word. This is a week to grow in your faith, build friendships, and make memories that'll last a lifetime. Register at camcc.net/middle school. For more info, connect with Jacob at camcc.net.
Sunday, August 30th, Next Steps Membership Class, 12:30 to 2 p.m. One-time class to become a member of CamCC. Come find out what it means to be a member, meet the staff, enjoy a short Q&A, and a free lunch. Child care is available. Sign up before August 23rd at camcc.net/membership. For more info, connect with Jacob at jacob@camcc.net. If you need prayer, we have our prayer team up front willing to pray for you at the conclusion of the gathering. Again, we are so glad that you came here today.
Make sure you're following us on our socials and stay in the loop of what is going on. For more information on these events, go to camcc.net.